Hello and welcome. The past week witnessed several major decisions on the academic calendar in terms of exams and results. The biggest, of course, was the postponement of the NEET 2020, the JEE Main 2020, the engineering and medical entrance exams to September. This decision came as relief to many students appearing for the eligibility tests. From the reduction in the ICSE syllabus, a redrawing of the academic calendar in both higher and lower education, there have been significant developments in education in the last week. But we're asking tonight, what are the lessons to be learned from the COVID-19 lockdown? Is this an opportunity to reconsider our education system? Is the coronavirus pandemic reshaping education as we know it? Can the pandemic reshape education the way we want it? How can we ensure equal access to education for all children as they return to school, if they return to school, as and when in a new post-lockdown normal? Let's start by introducing on the show. We have tonight Meera Isaacs, principal of the Cathedral and John Cannon School, joining us from Mumbai. Thank you, Meera. Also, we'll have two parents joining us of ICSE students. But Meera, you know, this ICSE decision, the board says that in order to make up for the loss in instruction hours during the current session due to the pandemic, they're cutting the syllabus by 25%. And I can imagine that students are overjoyed, but as an educator, what is your response to this move? How do you see a syllabus reduction? And I understand we're living through a pandemic, but at a time when the UN Millennium Goals, for example, talk about learning in order to learn.
Sarah, as you can, you know, I mean, as you said, we are going through very, very difficult and trying times. And fortunately for us as a school, we began online teaching from the 16th of March. And so, you know, we had a sort of an advantage because many other schools opened up only in June. And so there is a huge gap that some schools just haven't been able to cover the amount of syllabus that we have done. And I do agree that... I'm not one to say that there should be these gaps in the syllabus because it will leave the children at a disadvantage, in my opinion. But at the same time, one has to cater for across the country. Hmm. And not just across the country, but also in other countries where there is the ISE and the ICSE. Hmm, hmm, hmm.
So you believe that teaching subjects online to senior students, whether it's mathematics, chemistry, etc., will equip them to take a board exam next year? You think is there a difference between online teaching and the physical experience of being in a classroom?
Definitely, there will be a difference. There's no question about it. Because I honestly feel that in a school situation, there is face-to-face teaching. The child can ask whatever it wants. But thank God, Zoom has come to our rescue to a very large extent. But it is certainly not the most satisfactory of ways in which we should teach children. There's absolutely no question about that.
Okay.
But this is the best of a bad situation.
We will, of course, bring in the whole point of digital education and what does this mean for the millions of children who don't have access to computers, the internet, etc. I want to touch on that. But first, let's get in Arvind Tiwari. He is a... All right, we'll try and get Arvind. But we have Purvi Chawla, Dr. Purvi Chawla. She's the parent of a class 10 ICSE student. Dr. Chawla, your reaction to the ICSE saying that they're going to be cutting the syllabus by 25%. What about, they also say that you know, they're going to retain the core concepts. Does that reassure you? Because, you know, it's coming in a year where formal learning within the four walls of a classroom have been disrupted severely.
Hi, good evening. So, and thanks for having us here. You've really entrusted a lot of responsibility on us for representing parents. I'd just like to say that, first of all, this is 2020, the year of COVID-19 pandemic, and we can never forget that. So everything is absolutely far from normal or perfect. But measures are being taken just to, at all levels, to ensure the safety of lives and also means of coping. So education by far is not really suffering due to online learning, especially in towns and cities that have internet access and possession of devices to access, you know, the lectures and stuff that's being delivered. So from that point of view, I'm okay. But boards are adapting to modifying the syllabi, and I'm quite relieved with that decision also. I also think that none of these standards are absolutely critical steps to further professional or other courses. So I think it's okay because we have to make some compromise. A lot of courses can be done even later. Once this whole pandemic settles, I think we can have a few modified courses within the system to make up for the loss of 25% of syllabi not being covered this
okay.
time.
And Dr.
So
Chawla,
I think we have to modify.
What was your child's reaction?
Children are obviously thrilled and they are protected right now by their parents, teachers, everybody, because, you know, nobody wants them to step out. So everybody is just giving in to whatever they need or for their comfort and just means of surviving at home. Mm. And they are thrilled with this. I think, but let's see, I mean, we're dealing with adolescents and teenagers largely, and they do not have that foresight of what happens if I don't cover this kind of syllabus now. Will I be able to, you know, pursue higher education without this, or will I be able to score perfectly in my entrance exam? So they
have
that limited
capacity.
But as you said,
we are living through a pandemic, so we have to put everything in that perspective. All right. Arvind Tiwari
Absolutely.
Also joins us now. Arvind, you know, Arvind has been in the news. He filed that petition challenging the board's decision to hold exams as the number of COVID-19 cases are still on the rise, especially in Maharashtra. And Arvind, this is important also because yesterday we saw those 32 students who were to sit for the Class 10 state board exams in Karnataka, along with lakhs of other students. They have now tested positive for the coronavirus. But as a parent of an ICSE student tonight, I want to ask you your response to the board saying that the syllabus is going to be cut, because are you worried? You're a lawyer. How do you decide what to leave out when you figure out whether you should cut a syllabus? Because concepts really are foundational to further learning, right?
See, I would like to say that, you know, right now the situation, we have to adjust to the situation, and it's a choice. It's a very hard choice to make. Whether when the first priority is whether you have, you know, you have to keep yourself safe and also to educate yourself and move ahead in this direction. So somewhere down the line, when we are going in for an online type of a teaching and whether no physical classes being conducted, somewhere down the line, if the syllabus is kept to be on the same level which has been done in the last year, there will be a problem for even the children to take it up, and also for the schools to complete their portion syllabus. And also, see, we have to also think that organizing the schools on an online platform is a different thing. We also have to analyze how they will take the examinations on an online platform, because that is something which is not yet seen and not yet developed in India. So somewhere down the line, cutting down the syllabus will certainly help the students and also the schools and the faculty to somewhere meet up to the target.
But out of curiosity, Dr. Chawla, Arvind Tiwari, when you all say, would you be okay with calling this a gap year for your kids? Dr. Chawla, you said, you know, it's really not that relevant. It doesn't affect your future so much. Because a state like Orissa, I think, has just said that across the institutions, they should just consider this as a year that doesn't count.
So my view is that I'm never about extremes. I think this is a pandemic year. Let this be a learning. The first 2 months or 3 months have been a period of adaptation to, you know, going online, or even today we are online on this interview. You know, we would have been in the studio comfortably having coffee and discussing these things. But so we all have adapted to that. This is early training for the kids. So I don't want this to be a gap year. Let them not go scot-free. We have to keep them intellectually engaged. So I don't want that pressure of exams or that, you know, inundate them with that much of information or have so many exams and, you know, the pressure of board exams. However, I absolutely believe in keeping them intellectually engaged on track with some discipline so that things don't go haywire. We don't want to deal with the after effects like that. And I think we are now in a comfortable state to say that we have adopted the new normal to quite an extent.
Well, you know, this new normal, some of these new adaptations, like you said, not having guests in studio, maybe they will continue even in a post-COVID world. We never know, even for TV. But thank you so much, Arvind Tiwari and Dr. Chawla. Meera Isaacs, you know, the world over, governments are still trying to work out ways to resume education amidst this pandemic. How do you see this unfolding?
Yes,
schools are planning
absolutely.
For various contingencies, right? All students in school, no students in school, 30% of students only at a point of time, some hybrid version of a person,
yes, yes.
in person and home learning also.
Before I come on to that, Sarah, let me just say that from what I see, how the council has worked this out, the core of what is necessary is still there in the syllabus.
But it's they haven't told you what they're cutting out, right?
They have.
Okay.
They have. We've got
You've
the
got
syllabi.
The final syllabus, so
yes,
you can teach only
thing.
What is going to be
and
tested
if there
on. Okay.
Is any more, if there are any more problems, maybe they could cut a little more. My problem is when you're talking about from the 9th to the 12th, you do need laboratory work. Now,
yeah.
that is where we're going to have a lot of problems because we can't bring children right now. And you were asking, how are we planning to do it? Right now, Bombay is absolutely a no-no. There's no way we can bring children back to school. But because we have got ready for the examinations, and all the school buildings have been sanitized very thoroughly at least once over. But having said that, for the senior classes, we are hoping to have alternate days where we can bring them in when things get a little better. And so we'll have half the number of children on one day and half the number on the other,
okay.
only for the senior classes.
Okay.
The lower
and
the
talking
lower
about exams, now that,
yeah.
you know, after a lot of back and forth going to courts, exams have been cancelled, average marks are being calculated with a new formula. What exams do you envisage in the future? Is this an opportunity now for all of us? Are we at a moment where perhaps we can shift away from that, you know, A got point percent more than B? Can
absolutely,
we move away from
absolutely.
That system?
I think this is the point where now it has been an eye-opener for all of us. We need to be moving towards the kind of international assessments that are available. I know that, I mean, first of all, lots of children don't even have a proper digital service at their disposal. But this is the way we need to, our national curricula need to move on to the kind of international assessment systems that there are there. So we will never again fall into this kind of a trap. You saw how the IB and the IGCSE, how quickly they changed. And they said that they were going to use all the assessments that had been done over the year. I think this is what we need to do also, because we are moving into the 21st century, and we've got to be more forward-looking, more progressive about whatever we do. There's no question about that.
Okay, I can bring in now Aditi Mishra. She's a director, principal of the DPS Gurugram, joining us. Aditi, you know, now that the ICSE, I mean, the board there has announced a cut in the syllabus for ICSE, is it just a matter of time that the CBSE follows through?
Yes, sir. We've been working on the reduced syllabus, on the rationalized syllabus, so to say. And within a week, we'll know exactly what is being going to be added and what will be removed.
But you're
the idea is that we're not planning to remove
it's just a matter
entire
of when.
Chapters, but perhaps certain modules which have already been done
yes.
in the previous
yes.
year, which need not be kept up for assessment, just to reduce the burden on the child.
And what about the burden on the teacher? Does reducing the syllabus also translate into a reduction of work for teachers in the sense that, you know, a lot of ground has been lost? There's been months that children haven't been physically in a classroom, and you have to pick up perhaps from where they left off?
So actually the teacher's workload seems to have increased substantially in the past 3 months. Having said that, I must shout out to all the teachers across the globe who have slipped in very easily into this online mode of teaching. And they have actually unlearned a lot of stuff and relearned and redefined their own pedagogy because of the way classes are being held now. So certainly the teacher's work has increased, but I think
Is that because teachers also need to be technologically, you know, up to date? Sometimes
yes.
maybe the students are just better at working all these Zoom and other apps that you need to download. That
unfortunately, I hate to say this as a traditional teacher myself, but a teacher who is not digitally sound today will soon become irrelevant.
But teachers
so
need training.
Has to be.
Will the school invest in the training? Teachers need training. Will the school invest in the training or should the government?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But will the school invest
in the
training? We have
no choice. We have to do it.
But will
the
school invest?
So when the pandemic started, when the lockdown started, a lot of us started with the very basic training of just being able to send a Zoom invite and take a class.
Yeah.
Now, as the classes have progressed and we find that this is going to be an ongoing sort of a situation, then we have had retraining and advanced training, but at the teacher's own pace. We don't want to force anything because if you force this kind of a training, it may go terribly, terribly wrong.
Okay.
So teacher has to self-pace herself, like children self-pace themselves. We find no shame in asking a child to help us out because they are digital natives. They are able to help us out whenever we come across a roadblock. And that is very heartwarming, actually, for a child and for a teacher.
And Colonel Amit Bhatla, who, along with other parents, had moved the Supreme Court against the conduct of pending CBSE exams in July, given the raging pandemic, he now joins us. Colonel Bhatla, you know, the government has, the NCERT actually has developed an alternative academic calendar for all classes, and they have given detailed guidelines for teachers on the use of technology, and the education minister says teaching must continue online. So as a parent, are you reassured that your child, again, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, is getting the education you had hoped for all along?
Ma'am, good evening to you. Thank you, NDTV, for this coverage. I agree with you, ma'am. Under the present circumstances, we cannot have the normal education that was continuing. However, I think within these circumstances, this is the best possible that can be done. And also, like what ma'am pointed out, I think this is an opportunity to seek new avenues, to look at new teaching methods. And it may be just a blessing in disguise. So I think there's a lot of efforts which are being put in by the schools, by the teachers, and the things are only improving every day. And the situation still remains uncertain. And we actually do not know how long it will take before the schools can finally open up again and the children can get back to normalcy. So I think under the present circumstances, this is the way to go. And we have to explore new avenues, work every day on better methods of teaching, connecting with the children. So I think that's the way to go, ma'am.
Okay, so if online teaching is the way of the future, but let's not forget the digital divide. States like Odisha have recognized this. They've declared 2021 as a year that's not going to be counted. Madhya Pradesh, I read, has banned online teaching for primary classes. Most of many children in India, millions, do not even have smartphones, let alone expensive electronic devices. That too, you need more than one per child in a house with two kids. They need separate computers. So that's something we need to keep in mind. Before that, I want to go across to a student who joins us from a class 12 student, Ria Gupta. Ria, you know, so much has been said about the emotional stability of students right now. So, you know, students of your generation who were thinking that the future is theirs for the taking, ready to step out into the real world, then thrown in the middle of a pandemic. Your reactions to the syllabus being cut down, to your classes going online, and to this digital divide is... Does everybody in your class, are they able to access classes online?
So I don't think that everybody is able to access classes online, but I support the syllabus being cut because not only has this pandemic brought about a lot of stress and it has, our mental health is taking a toll, but online classes have also imposed some problems because we're not very used to this virtual form of learning. Teachers are struggling, students are struggling. So I think that syllabus being reduced is very good, and students can now focus on doing only the part of the syllabus which is actually important and not being stressed about the entire thing and how to cover up all the missed work. We can obviously just cover up anything remaining, like the practicals or any other aspect of our studies, when the time gets all right. And I think health is everything, and it's only if we're healthy will we be able to continue studying. So I really support this decision.
And can you expand a little bit on, you said there are some students in your class or in your school who you think don't have access. Are schools, do you know from your school and from your friends, are schools doing anything about these students? And of course, these are schools from the capital, from metropolitan cities, cosmopolitan cities like Delhi and Mumbai. And of course, there's the other India out there. But go ahead, what's your personal experience been like?
Yeah. I think it's unfair to the students who are not staying in metropolitan areas. Obviously, we're more privileged and we should be, we should take into account of what they're going to face because they won't have as many devices and internet access. So it will be a little problematic for them to study online, or if we just choose to switch entirely to an online method of teaching, it will be problematic for them.
Okay, I want to end with both our principals. Meera Isaacs, to you first. You know, much has been written, said about the pandemic causing a generation of students who will be academically lost, socially stunted, emotionally scarred. How do you see, what are the lessons that students themselves can learn from this this pandemic?
Sarah, you know, I just think that first of all, I think our children have learned to be more resilient. And I think it's very important that our children learn how blessed they are in so many ways by what they have. Because I'm talking about the school, my school and my children. And I always tell them that you just see how blessed you are in so many ways. You know, you can see the positive side of it also. I see the positivity in the kind of education system that will be coming our way. I definitely do see that, because this old content heavy syllabus will just not do. It's got to be more open. It's got to be more flexible. It's got to be more forward thinking. And I really want to agree. I want to add my voice to what I think it was the other principal, I can't see her, said. You know, it's a tremendous shout out to our teachers. They have been so wonderfully sterling in whatever they have done. And actually, I think it's a good day for us to have this this debate or this conversation because today is Guru Purnima. And I think it's wonderful that our teachers have been able to rise to the occasion the way they have. And I think our children too, they have not let us down in any way. I think we need to trust in them and believe in them. And of course, at the same time, we are working on a whole lot of mental health issues, emotional issues, social issues, so that we can send our children back into the world when the pandemic lifts, stronger people, much, much stronger people.
Ria, would you agree? Both personally and what about your class? Are they emerging stronger from this experience, or do you wish it had happened to another batch, not yours?
No, I think we've all emerged as very strong, and this is just... made us realize that we can't take anything for granted. We have to adapt to situations that are thrown at us, and we have to come out as resilient, and we have to face whatever comes at us.
Dr. Mishra, Principal Ma'am Aditi Mishra, last word, word to you. What are the main takeaways you think that you would like your students and your teachers to learn from this entire experience?
As a whole, you know, not just those who are mine or yours or anybody else's, let us focus on some skills which we could not focus on when there was regular work happening. So things like creative thinking, things like collaboration, things like critical thinking. So you know what we have done in our school? We've involved our alumni back into the classes to come and talk to students in small numbers in case they feel they need someone to talk to, in case they're feeling a little stressed out. There is something called lockdown fatigue, which is coming in. So just talking about it helps a lot. We've also got them to, we're talking about the children who are less privileged. I've got all my students of senior classes to make little podcasts for them to send to their parents' mobiles, and they can access these in the evening, in the night, whenever possible, so that the learning gap is reduced as much as possible. So I'm involving the children in everything so that somewhere they're distracted from their immediate problem and they're thinking of the future. So there is a committee of various children dealing with the steps we will take when schools reopen, whenever it may happen. So what will happen to the buses? What would happen to the play field? What is going to happen in your classroom? So the planning has been shared with them. They have to do the planning. So critical thinking, collaboration, creative thinking, everything comes into the forefront. I'm expecting all the children of India to emerge stronger, braver, and as Meera ji said, more resilient than ever before.
Well, there are some lessons that can't be taught in a classroom or within the four walls of a classroom, which include the fact that we all need to work together to get through this together. Thank you all for joining us tonight on We the People. Good night.